Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Everyday Truth Podcast with Kurt Skelly. On this podcast, our goal is just to simply show that the Bible is relevant to your life every single day. And we just hope that you're helped by this current series from the book of Joshua. What we've called it is Don't Be Afraid to Follow God. So let's just take a second, sit back, and hear what Kurt has to say.
And we are back for another day of conversation about the book of Joshua, specifically dealing with the issue, don't be afraid to follow the Lord. I'm learning a ton about
definitely learning
for sure about Joshua and about what it means to trust God and to trust God for what we can't see yet, because that's a big part of Joshua, is not knowing the future, not knowing how God, we're going to see some exciting things in the next few podcasts about, you know, how God does stuff.
Many, many miracles. Yeah. Miraculous things that happened throughout Joshua.
Right. And we look at that, but we have the benefit of looking back at Bible stories and saying, okay, David and Goliath, yeah, he's going to go out there and win this battle, but, or Joshua, he's going to face Jericho, but not. There's no way we could have thought that God would do it in the way that he did.
It's not glamorous in the moment.
It's not glamorous in the moment, for sure. And even in my own life, I'm sure, Hannah, you could testify as well, that, you know, there have been, looking back, you know, it makes sense. Okay, God, I now see what you did there. Now I see why you orchestrated those circumstances. But in the moment, it is messy.
Very messy. And you wouldn't want it or wish it. But yeah, it's true.
So today we're in Joshua 4 and verse 10, where Joshua has built this altar, not altar, but this monument in the middle of the river. The other 12 guys have taken stones on to the other side. They're going to do something with them. We're going to learn. But now we're kind of finishing that up. The priests are still there.
They're still hanging out.
They're still hanging out in the river. I don't know about you, but I would be ready to get out. Okay, all the people are over. Let's get out of this river. And that's what happens in verse 10. The priest which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people. But here's what I like, Hannah, because in verse 10 it says, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. Three times in this little section that we're going to talk about today, God brought back Moses' name. He said, okay, Joshua did that just like Moses commanded Joshua. Remember Moses, God used Moses to lead and really to mentor Joshua. So Joshua knew that he would take the people across, and Joshua knew that he would be that man whom God would use. But God had used Moses initially to communicate that to Joshua. And then in verse 12, at the end of the verse, it says, as Moses spake unto them, the Reubenites and the Gadites. And then in verse 14, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses. So three times in five verses, God refers back to Moses. And I think the reason is, you know, God is showing the progression generationally. He's showing the progression by way of leadership, that while people come and people go, I use them as almost like runners in a relay race. Mm-hmm. And there's that time when you run together and you're passing the baton, and then there's times when you run by yourself, and then there's that time when you run together with the next leader, and that's the way life works. I think about, you know, Hannah, you were born in, what's your birthday again?
96.
No, that's not your birthday, that's your birth year.
October 8th, 1996.
October 8th, 1996, so she does expect several birthday cards this year from you, but...
Hopefully you.
And come on.
If you remember.
I will remember. Mom will remind me, I promise you. But so you were born 96, just a month after I had turned 30. So now for these last 22 years, we've been running the race together. You know, early on, obviously, as a little baby, we didn't have much interaction. I held you a lot, but there wasn't a lot of conversation. But, you know, for these years, we've been running together. But there's going to come a day, probably, if we live normal lives, there's going to come a day when my race will end, but yours will keep on going. So it's this time together. That's what happened with Moses and Joshua. They ran together for a while. And during that time of running together, Joshua learned, he gleaned. And now that Moses is gone and Joshua continues to run, God is using him. But he's referencing the fact that I have been working all along through the lives of the people that have come before you and how important that is. So let's break it down. We're in Joshua 4, verse 10. They have come out of the river, or they're about to come out of the river. Moses has commanded Joshua. They've done everything that God has told them to do. And then the Bible says in verse 11, and it came to pass when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over and the priests in the presence of the people. So, you know, God got the job done from beginning to end. The priests are now coming out of the river, and the children of Reuben and the children of Gad and the half tribe of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel as Moses spake unto them. So here's that other group that we talked about in chapter 1. Remember the Reubenites and the Gadites and the half tribe of Manasseh? Who were they? They were the people that said, hey, we want to stay on this side of the Jordan River, but we're willing to go fight with you until you get all of your land, and then we're going to come back to our side. Well, what do we find? We find them keeping their word. Just like Moses spake with them, they're keeping their word. So again, we see this connection back to Moses. Moses gave them a warning. They made a deal with Moses. Now they're following through, even though Moses is not there. So we're seeing faithfulness, on the part of Joshua to obey his spiritual forefathers as they followed the Lord. And then we're seeing the Reubenites and the Gadites, the half-tribe of Manasseh. They're doing exactly what they said they would do, just like they told Moses. And then verse 13 tells us how many there were. 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. So there were 40,000 of them that were ready to go to risk their lives. And they had left their families back on the other side. Wow, what a tremendous example of courage. And then finally, verse 14, on that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And when it says fear, I mean, that means respect. Respect, yeah. You know, we fear our leaders. I mean, Hannah, did you fear me growing up?
Maybe a little bit.
Yeah, there were times. But the point is that we would have a respect for. And I think fear is involved sometimes with leadership and authority, even with the fear of God. When we're doing wrong, I think there should be legitimate fear. Wow, I'm not obeying the Lord. But generally, the term means to live in awe of, to be respectful of. And God used Joshua all the days of these battling years as the leader in the lives of the children of Israel because that's the way God does it. God uses people to help people. It doesn't make one person more important than somebody else, but it does mean that God uses authorities in our life.
And I think it was you already covered this, but it was easier for the people to follow Joshua because Moses let God use him so greatly. And obviously Joshua learned from Moses as well. But I think they were much more ready to listen to Joshua because of Moses' influence. Moses allowed God to use him so greatly.
Yeah. And why do you think God does it that way? I mean, God could have just given every one of us our personal marching orders and our daily to-do list. Why does God use people? Why is that part of God's economy?
Well, I would say a couple reasons. We naturally gravitate towards that leader mentality because God is our ultimate leader. He's the one that ultimately leads us. Just having an order, and God wants things to be done an orderly
decently
way,
in,
decently
in order.
Yeah. So I think those are would be a couple reasons. I know I'm sure you have more.
No, I totally agree with you. But you know, one thing I was thinking is we need to know what truth looks like. Sometimes we hear truth on a piece of paper or through an audio listening device like you all are doing right now. But how does truth look wrapped up in a person? I think that's why God, I know that's why God gave us his son, the Lord Jesus, because the Bible says he is the express image of his person. So God gave us himself in a human body so we could see what truth looks like day by day. Truth with shoes on, truth serving, truth every day. So God uses leaders in our life to be little reflectors of the Lord Jesus, who's the ultimate example of truth, the ultimate embodiment of truth. I think about even Paul, who said, follow me as I follow Christ. It's not that we're trying to build a fellowship or your social media, how many followers do I have or how many likes do I get? That's not the point. The point is we ought to be using our influence and the ways that God has worked in our lives as an example for other people. And God is in the business of putting people in positions of authority and positions of influence for the purpose of people following his will.
Mm-hmm.
And you've seen that in your life. I mean, obviously, you have, you know, dad, mom. You know, you've had us for 22 years, but you've had a lot of great leaders in your life.
Yeah. I mean, where do I start? You know, I have, again, you know, my parents. I have teachers throughout my life. I've had coaches. I've had even just people that are a little bit older than me. You've been down the road. They're down the road a little farther. And just looking up to them as friends, respecting them in their stage of life. And, you know, it's leaders are relational. We're relational beings. And part of it, I know for me, I like to have examples of things. Like I'm being taught a lesson. I'm like, okay, when an illustration is given, when an example is given, it's so much easier to understand whenever I can see it. You know, God performed miracles to help. Believing is not seeing, but he did that for us, for Thomas, doubting Thomas. You know, see that my hands, see my feet, you know, see my side. God allows that for us, and he gives us leaders, I think, partially for that reason. You know, like you said, look at this this is your example. Look at this. And
no,
having
that's
that visual.
Good. Yeah, human leaders make truth tangible.
Mm-hmm.
No, I love that thought. That's really good. Someone once said, tell somebody something, and they'll probably forget. Show them and they might remember, but include them and they'll understand. And there's just something about living it and applying it and seeing it in someone's life that makes such a difference. Not that human leaders are perfect. They're not. We understand there's only one perfect. That's the Lord Jesus himself. But God uses people like Joshua in all of our lives to help lead us and to guide us, to shape us, to mold us, to take us to places that we need to go. So I'm looking forward to the places that we're going to go in this podcast. But I love today just the thought of God used Moses, God used Joshua, God wants to use you, God wants to use me. God bless you guys. I'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks for taking time to listen. If Everyday Truth matters to you, go ahead and subscribe to the podcast or share it with a friend. Until next time, God bless.